Hi, this is Rick Emerson, and the following encore of Legion of News is brought to you by Squires Electric. Whether it's electrical wiring, Ethernet wiring, or wiring of any kind at all in your home or business, Squires Electric can make your life easier. Find out more at squireselectric.com or call 503-252-1609. Squires Electric.
Greetings, fellow Portlanders. From the Emerson News Network, this is Legion of News!
Above the milk packing district, in the heart of beautiful southeast Portland, Oregon, the home of all good things. This, my friends, is Legion of News, a one-hour distillation of all important knowledge from everywhere. My name is Rick Emerson, alongside Don Taylor, who is, even now as I speak these words to you, preparing information on a vast swath of happenings, including, but not limited to, the following.
Washington nudists sue to stop a public shooting range. A creepy neighbor is accused of licking a child's ear. And Portland is devastated by inches and inches of snow. Oh, wait. No, it's not.
I'm still back on the thing about nudists. Are there going to be visual aids with this story?
No.
Will there be boobs at any point?
Only in your mind, Rick Emerson. You'll have to just picture it in your mind.
You act as though that's not a default setting for my mind anyway. I was also going to ask if there are going to be pinch boobs, but that sounds awkward. As always, my friends, have no doubt that this conglomeration of factual discourse and ideological screed will render you shocked, amazed, enraptured, and demonstrably more intelligent than when you began this hour. And now, without further ado, prepare yourselves for Legion of News.
Good afternoon, I'm Don Taylor, and this is absolutely everything you need to know for January 12th, 2011. Well, Portland was brought to a dead halt by inches and inches
paralyzed.
Of snow. Completely paralyzed.
Ripped.
It was like Armageddon when overnight freezing rain and 4 inches of snow buried the city. Schools were closed. Businesses closed. Government ground to a standstill.
You know, I don't think it was you that mentioned this yesterday. Somebody else, I think, was making the observation that TriMet, God love TriMet. We have many listeners who sit behind steering wheels for that fine organization every day. Goddamn TriMet chained up 500 buses and vehicles last night. Well done. Practical application of your time.
Yeah, it's 50 degrees outside.
By the way, it's raining. It's raining in Portland.
Yeah.
Just in case anybody was going to be caught off guard by that, here
and
in Portland, it's
50 degrees. You don't even really need a heavy coat.
Here's the thing is, you look at my, I don't know if you ever go to look at the weather thing on your iPhone. I do only because it's pretty, not because I expect it to be accurate. There was this one great moment last night when, and I sort of do it occasionally, just, I swear to Christ, I am that guy. I will occasionally just, and this is the only iPhone observation I'll make this hour, I swear to you. I occasionally now, just months after getting it, I reach over and I'll take it out of sleep mode, and then I'll just look at it and I'll sigh contentedly. And then I'll give it sort of a, oh, who's a good phone? Oh, it's such a good phone. Ooh, we're going to visit rabbits. And then I just, you know, and then I put it away. But if you look at the weather thing, there's that thing where, you know, it'll show the temperature at the top, and then it'll show the week at the bottom. And then in the middle of the top of the screen, it will have a single graphic that represents the weather. When it's like sun, or it's a clouds, or it's like they'll have like a flurry of snowflakes across the screen. Last night there was this, I should have taken a screenshot of it. There was one that I'd never seen before, and it was the graphic on the iPhone for frozen rain. And it was great. It was like when you go and you look at the Google logo and it's just sort of been altered, like they've got it looking all cubist or it looks like a Pollock painting or something. It was just ice spheres bouncing on the screen, like all over the screen.
Oh.
And it was really cool looking. And it was just, I've realized I have now become that guy. But it was a thing that I'd never seen before. And I swear to God, this is the Apple neuroses, the Apple pathology incarnate. Because I swear to you, it was all I could do not to call my wife in from the other room and have her look at a graphic on the iPhone weather screen so she could also be amazed at it.
Look, the ice is bouncing.
Look, the pixels are in a slightly different fashion than they normally are. Isn't it awesome? It's only $500.
Well, yeah. There was some freezing rain and snow flurries, apparently.
There were, at my house, I will say this, it was ever so slightly slick on about this one square inch section of pavement if you were, like, going to the trash in the driveway of my home, which I wasn't, so I was fine.
Well, in Southwest Washington, Camas and Washougal, schools shut down for the day.
Really?
Because of the slick conditions.
Here's the thing. When the Chinese come and they run riot over your weak-ass children, it's going to be your own fault, by the way.
Yeah, the high temperature for today is expected to be 48 degrees,
awesome.
Except it's already, like, higher than
That's
that.
That's
so
wonderful. Way to go, Portland.
Yay.
Well done. Okay. I mean, on the one hand, and it's like I don't even know which. I'm so of two minds about this, because on the one hand, I guess I am glad that we didn't get, you know, snow and ice and whatever. We didn't get either legitimately bad weather or even like Portland's version of bad weather, because then it's like then everything is clogged. Then it's like the roads are closed and you can't get anywhere and people are driving around like idiots. And, I don't have to navigate. I had to go to Beaverton this morning and, like, I don't want to have to wind my way through morons, you know, who are frightened by water. So I'm glad that didn't happen. On the other hand, I don't know. On the other hand, I carry just the tiniest little bit of a grudge that we continue to have just a green Christmas all the way around. I mean, now past New Year's, we haven't really gotten any snow to speak of. So I just, I think we're going on like 2 years now. We haven't gotten anything. I'm carrying a little bit of a grudge about that.
I don't really mind it, although I will say that I find it really funny. I've lived here in the Portland area over 20 years now, and I find it hilarious that people still think the weather guys know what they're talking about. That people actually will take it seriously.
Yeah, I mean,
they don't seem to understand. They're guessing.
Every single day, they're
just guessing.
They do the same way a potted plant does. I mean, you know, the same way that, I don't know, if you were to ask your pocket lint what the weather was likely to be tomorrow, you know, they'll have probably the same accuracy rate. Or God, if you were to ask him, I would guess if you were to ask God and, like, the KGW weather guy, you know, just like in a private moment, but perhaps as you were reflecting upon your life before you retired for the evening, just ask Jesus what the weather will be tomorrow. And then also, you know, and then ask like Andy Carson or somebody, and then just see, you know.
And then a magic eight ball.
And the trunk monkey. And then just kind of see which one. And I'm putting my money on trunk monkey, by the way. Always. Some people bet on black. I don't. Rick Emerson bets on Joe Pesci and trunk monkey.
And you know, I love the weather guys. You know my obsession with Bruce Sussman and
yes.
his giant strangler's hands. But yeah, I just always find it. Well, Dave Selesky said it's going to be sunny tomorrow. Dave Selesky's guessing. Dave Selesky doesn't know. Dave Selesky's greatest skill, along like with Bruce Sussman and the others, is that he and Matt Savino. His hair and the fact that he sounds so sure of himself every single day.
No, that was that's the thing. Is like we'll talk more about this. We'll talk more about this next hour. But I had one of those moments this morning as we were doing the Outlook Portland thing, where I realized you've done the show, and I was doing the opening, and I said, you know, I was doing my sort of opening monologue, setting up the thing, and I realized that I had written a phrase that made no sense. I mean, it was just like. Because I was writing the script really late, and it's like it was just gibberish. Like, it doesn't mean anything at all. I made up a unit of measurement that doesn't really exist in the actual world.
I
don't even want to. Well, it's
I
want
to hear.
Here's the thing. It's not that funny. It's just that I referred to a metric carload.
Ah, okay.
And later the guy's like, "What does it mean? What does metric carload mean?" And this was like during a break, and I said, I don't know, but I said it in a confident voice. Nobody will notice. And I just went back to sort of scribbling to myself. And I think he noticed because he had the time to sort of study the notes. But the thing is, I realized, and it's that thing where you look down and you're glancing ahead just a little bit at the copy to make sure you stay on point. And I saw metric carload, and there's the tiniest little klaxon went off in my head of like, danger, gibberish ahead. It makes no sense. But the rest of my brain was like, it doesn't matter, full speed, you know, and you go right through it, and then there's no problem. You're listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Thank you for, by the way, we braved the elements to make it to the studio today, because that is how we roll here at the Emerson News Network and at Cascadia.fm. We're not going to be turned back by the feverish hellstorm that is lurking outside our doors.
No, Cascadia FM is here to entertain and inform the people.
No matter what the weather.
Even when it's like the end of days.
That's right.
Outside.
When the apocalypse happens, there will just be cockroaches and Angus Young and Cher and us. And that's it. And that's all you're going to need.
And wolves on your ships
that's
that are
right.
frozen in your at your docks.
It's it really, we're like the we're like a sort of auditory Shackleton. So, you know, we're just here regardless. So thank you for joining us. It is Wednesday, January 12th, 2011. Coming up later on this hour, we got your entertainment news, also your science on the march, and so forth. You can get this program via iTunes later on today, or via as a direct MP3 download here, or at legionofnews.com, also on your mobile device that is mobile.cascadia.fm. Here's Don Taylor.
A witness at the trial of a former TriMet bus driver said Monday that Sandy Day was mortified and in hysterics, and said she never saw the people she hit with her bus. Day drove her bus into a group of pedestrians in downtown Portland last April, killing two women and injuring three other people. The witness said she looked right at me and said, "I swear I did not see them. I did not see them." She was trembling and shaking. Also on Tuesday, the head of operations for TriMet blamed Day for the accident, saying she was going too fast for the turn and didn't properly scan the intersection.
Sounds like he really threw her under the bus.
Oh, wacky morning guy.
I wish I had like a clown horn or something.
Sandy Day is fighting six traffic violations in court, including careless driving, making an illegal left turn, and failing to yield to pedestrians. Isn't there a law against just running over people as well? Those are just traffic violations.
Yeah.
Isn't killing people with a bus, isn't there like a rule for that?
I would imagine so. I mean, if not, maybe that's a clever loophole we could all maximize for the next few weeks until they close it. By the way, I'm going to recycle that whole throw under the bus thing exactly. I might just excerpt the audio. I might not even do it again live. I might just drop it in as like a sound effect. I'm going to recycle that next hour on the Rick Emerson Show.
Okay, well, Let's all pretend
you're hearing it for the first time.
I'll make sure I read that story again so that we can see how fresh we can make it sound.
But we should do the setup and the payoff exactly the same way.
All right. I'll pretend I never heard it.
Awesome. I think it goes without saying that she didn't mean to hit them unless she's psychotic, which she's not.
Still, people died. There's such a thing as involuntary manslaughter.
No, I think she's going to find that out. I think that point's about to be made very clear to her.
Well, that's a different court date.
Yeah.
This is just the one for, like, you know, running the light. I think if you're up for involuntary manslaughter, they probably ought to just let you skate, you know, on the not using your turn signal.
Sort of like having an expired license, you know, or something. Or just, you know, that like her, like one of her blinkers was out. The thing with the bus, it's not as bad as with the Max, but, you know, again, it's like the bus seems... The problem with the, and I'm not saying it's the pedestrian's fault, although we have all seen pedestrians just, you know, walk into the road, you know, sort of willy-nilly, you know, like idiots. And I don't, I'm
especially
not saying...
Especially downtown.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that happened here, but the problem is that pedestrians see the bus, and just as the Max looks like it's just sort of a like a plasticky sort of Kenner figure, like it's like it looks like it's just made out of the same stuff that like the Millennium Falcon was, but or like those spaceships on the original V, like it's just sort of made of styrofoam or packing plastic. It doesn't look like it can harm you,
and yet
it does. The thing about the bus looks like it can harm you, but it always looks like it's going so unbelievably slow that when it's turning a corner, that at the most it would scoot you out of the way. You know, sort of like not a cow catcher, but sort of a cow nudger. Mm. And I think that the difference there was brought into stark relief. And so
it's more of a car, of a cow squasher.
It's a killer, is what it is. Yeah. It's a killing thing.
A 72-year-old Miami man has been arrested after he allegedly licked a 4-year-old, even though the child's mom was nearby. Roberto Garcia has been charged with 3 counts of lewd and lascivious molestation for the alleged incident, which occurred at a Miami coffee shop Monday. And by the way, the man who we will get to later, a neighbor referred to him as creepy. There's a photo of him. His mugshot is...
I don't want to see this.
Oh, yeah, you do. You really do. Police said he's 72, by the way.
All right.
Police said the child's mom works at the restaurant where Garcia goes to get coffee. He asked the woman for a cup of Cuban coffee, and while she was preparing it, Garcia took the opportunity to reach over the counter and fondle the boy's private area. Garcia also tried to make the boy grab his penis. And then Garcia licked the boy's ear before the mom could turn back around.
I don't know which of those things I find the most revolting is the thing. I mean, they're all, you know, you shouldn't do those things. But really, if we agree that they're all wrong and probably illegal, can we also, though, agree that the licking is the most off-putting?
The licking is very off-putting.
Because you don't expect that.
He pretended he was just playing with the kid when the mom turned around, but she noticed something was amiss. Like, I guess the four-year-old was guy looked, yes.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Yes, you're looking at the photo.
Okay, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to just shriek like that. He's, no.
Creepy is the word.
Bad, yes.
So anyway, the boy told his mother what happened, and she looked at the store's surveillance video and saw the man licking her child.
And so where he licked the boy's ear?
Yes.
I wonder if it was a swirly inside. Or if it was just like tracing the outside.
I like to think it was just like a little glancing thing. Like, I just want to get one little taste before I got to put you back.
Just a sort of like when you take one olive from Fred Meyer in the bulk section or something. You
this
know, and you say
count.
To yourself, it's just a single olive.
This doesn't count at all.
All right. So how old was the kid?
Four.
Yeah. All right. So anyway, so he's grabbing the kid, grabs the kid's hand, puts it on his unit, and then licks the kid.
Yeah.
The thing is, it's the licking, I think, that he's going to come back and haunt that kid later on in therapy. The licking is what the kid's going to think of later on. You know, like you know, in what Nietzsche called the wolf hour. That'll be the instant. Well, it's like the guy that, you know, there was this story. I don't think it was here, but there was this story recently where it's, maybe it was last year, 18 months ago, something like that. Like a whole rash of like women waking up and guys would be like licking the bottom of their feet. They'd be in bed. And it's like, yeah, the guy broke into your house. That should be the thing that unnerves you the most. Or that he had, like, a knife on him, which I think he did. But somehow it was the fact that you wake up and there's a guy, like, at the foot of your bed. And you look down and he's like, hi. You know, and he just goes back to licking your feet. That's just, it's wrong.
Well, licking is just strange anyway. Like, I love my dog. And occasionally I find my dog giving me a little dog kiss, kind of, you know.
On the feet?
It's cute.
Or anywhere.
Well, yeah, and that's the thing. I'm sitting, like, in a chair or doing something, reading and not paying attention. And then she'll come up and, like, just lick me on the elbow. And I don't see her coming.
Right.
And you just kind of jump out of your skin and just go, because your brain says, something just licked you.
Well, you got to be prepared for it. That's the thing. Licking is the opposite of tickling. In that for tickling, you know, you by definition can't be expecting it. Licking, you got to be expecting it or else it's so deeply unnerving. It really is just, that's a thing you got to be aware of that or otherwise. Yeah, because your brain is like, I don't know, there's something wet and warm down there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, that could be any number of, you know, that could be like you've just sprung a leak or you could be covered in leeches. You just have no way of telling.
Even worse is if I'm asleep and the cat licks me because cats have...
The sandpaper tongue.
Yeah, and it sounds horrible and then...
Do not want.
Yeah. Or actually, I think either one of those would be preferable to having that man lick you.
This was in Miami?
This was in Miami.
You know, he looks Russian.
I believe he's a...
I'm just saying.
Well, he asked for a Cuban coffee, and his last name is Garcia, so he may be from South America.
He looks like one of those guys that probably... he looks like one of those guys that probably has some sort of an unsavory reason for being in whatever city he's in now, as opposed to wherever city he came from. And then it's like nothing to do with the country or you with whatever. It's just he looks like a guy with a past that he's trying to get away from or that he was forcibly driven away from.
And he lives in a very dark apartment that smells like mold, old books, and soup.
And don't you imagine him talking like Henry Kissinger? You know, if you just come over here, I would just give you this tiniest little lick on the ear. It is just one little lick. That's how I picture his voice coming up.
Oh.
That's the first time I've tried the Kissinger, by the way. I think it was a success.
Yes.
All right.
A Sultan Washington nudist club is suing to stop a public shooting range from being built near a park that it runs for nude outdoor enthusiasts.
Sultan. You mean like on a flying carpet?
Yeah.
What? You don't mean on a flying carpet. What do you mean by Sultan?
S-U-L-T-A-N.
No, but I mean... Sultan. No, but is that a place?
Apparently so.
Okay, see, I thought you meant it was like of a sultan. Like, I thought you were referring to a king or a no. potentate of some kind.
Oh, no, a Sultan Washington nudist
club. Hell is Sultan Washington?
It's in Snohomish County.
That's why nobody cares. Oh, by the way, somebody asked where they can see the photograph. That is at rickemerson.com/pictures. That is rickemerson.com/pictures, visual aids for January 12th. All right, so there's a Sultan Washington. So they're trying to, so what with the, hey?
They have a park that they use for nude outdoor enthusiasts and a public shooting range is being built nearby. So the Lake Bronson Club, as they call themselves, sued the Washington State Board of Natural Resources and Snohomish County last week, saying the state can't transfer 150 acres of forest land to the county for a gun range. The lawsuit alleges state law requires the land be used for a public park. The club secretary says it's not a good idea to have a shooting range a mile from a social camping club. And, you know, close or no, I think they might have a point. The club has about 320 wooded acres in the foothills of the Cascade Mountains with a spring-fed lake and miles of hiking trails. County Chief Civil Deputy Prosecutor Jason Cummings said that county officials feel confident defending their position.
I think that really, it just seems to me when he said that they can't transfer the ownership, I think really if one group is, one group owns 5,000 guns and the other group has, you know, just their uncovered bodies, I think really the group with the guns probably can do almost anything.
Probably.
That just seems like that is a zero-sum game happening there. Also, here's the thing about this story that I latched onto, though, is not, yes, it's a news called Swing of Sultan, yes. The thing about this story is that they don't call themselves nudists. They're outdoor enthusiasts, which is a little bit of 1950s code you think we could leave behind. Just say you like to wave your penis around or to have it on display. The idea that you have to, like, it's like Hawkeye Pierce having to subscribe to, you know, outdoor magazines just so you can see bosoms. They're not outdoor enthusiasts. Or if they are, that's just incidental. They're nudists. The outdoor, you know. And what is the deal with nudists? Here's the thing. There are no, like, indoor nudist clubs. They're all outdoors.
No, those are swingers.
Yeah. But nudists, they say it's not even really about the sex or whatever. That's like an entirely outdoor activity. There are no, like, nudist colonies where they just stay inside all day.
I think that's because they believe that it has something to do with being healthy and being outside and being healthy and that sort of thing. I don't know. I could never do it because I sunburn too easily.
Okay.
Would just never. And plus, I'm shy. But, you know, really, the sunburn.
And it just seems like that seems like it seems like it's the opposite of healthy, because I think we evolved clothing for a reason, you know?
Oh, I love that. I have a really good friend whose father actually wrote a whole book about several guidebooks to clothing optional places around the country, and was a member of one in Southern California and drove around. In fact, she grew up at one of these places for much of her childhood. And we had a discussion once where she was telling me that, you know, the thing about being naked is that it's great because you can't judge people ahead of time by their clothing. And my take on it was, like, I think it's great that you can judge people ahead of time by your clothing.
Well, how can you tell who to avoid otherwise?
Exactly. I mean, how much easier is it to avoid somebody, you know, then by looking at the way they're dressed and then going, oh, okay, I can see by what you're expressing here that we don't need to talk.
Oh, head-to-toe Ed Hardy. Oh,
yeah.
I'm sorry. We're not going to speak.
Yeah.
You know? Or it's like you're at the mall and you see some chick with a Winnie the Pooh shirt. You know? No. Because, you know, because you can tell, because you look at the clothes and you can tell. Go, ooh, 5 kids at home, husband hates her, watches a lot of TV.
Yeah, okay. But if somebody is just, like, naked, they might, you know, look pleasant.
Pass.
And you can talk to them and you start to become friends with them. And then you discover that they have an entire house full of thousands of Hummel figurines. And now you're like, oh, God. And now I've already initiated friendship and now I'm stuck.
Well, and if you're a guy, there's the whole thing of your radar being jammed by the boobs. You know,
that
it's
too.
Like it's like that thing when Airwolf it's like when Ernest Borgnine and Airwolf would shoot flak out to distract missiles.
I don't know if it's like this with most women, but with me, it actually works the opposite. As if I see a guy's...
You're not talking about Airwolf anymore, are you?
No, I'm talking about seeing a man's...
Unit. His area.
His area. His stuff.
The store.
Yes, when I haven't, like, been, you know...
When you haven't asked to see it.
Exactly.
When it hasn't been gradually exposed
to you. When there hasn't been, like, specific interest on my part.
Or an indication that it's imminent.
Right.
You'd like to know that there's, like, you like to... Here's what women are... You know what women are like? Women like to... they like to have the off-ramp identified many, many, many miles in advance and then counted down to, like, quarter, you know...
Yes.
In just a mile and a half, 1 mile, quarter mile, 300 feet, like a GPS. And then, you know, penis! So they just don't. You don't like to have the penis just sprung on you.
Or at the very least, like that light that flashes on and off at intermission to let you know that you need to get back to your seat.
Exactly.
And then the curtains are going to open and the show is going to begin.
You're just minutes away from penis. By the way, that also works as a forward promotion on this program. Coming up later on, we got your entertainment news. Don't forget the Rick Emerson show. We have a Jackson watch, really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I've missed it. I was just thinking yesterday that I missed the Jackson Watch theme. It's like you read my mind. Corpse Watch coming up next hour. Snuff Watch coming up next hour. Jackson Watch. Also, Mr. Aaron Mesh will be here from Willamette Week. We have Don Taylor's top five songs about boozing. Is it about booze or boozing? Is it a verb or a noun?
It's about the drinking. It's okay. About enjoying the drinking.
Because the anniversary of Prohibition.
It is the anniversary of Prohibition today.
I did not know that. So, top five songs about drinking, which is really like... That's like Sword from the Stone kind of stuff there. That's like when I tried to do that top five TV theme songs, and I realized that there was that way lay madness.
Well, once you basically eliminate all of the country western songs...
I was going to ask if there was a no country rule.
Then that narrows the field quite a bit.
All right, makes it easier. All right, so that's coming up next hour on the Rick Emerson Show. That is Rick Emerson Show. .com. Here is Don Taylor.
The Panera Bread restaurant store, whatever you call it, in Northeast Portland will soon turn into the company's third pay-as-you-can cafe, according to a restaurant spokesperson. The Hollywood restaurant at 4143 Northeast Halsey will close Tuesday night and then reopen January 16th as a nonprofit named Panera Cares Community Cafe. The new restaurant will have suggested donation prices and donation bins, according to the company. The goal of the program is to make sure everyone who needs a meal gets one. Two other Panera pay-as-you-can cafes have opened up around the country over the past year. According to officials, 60 to 70% of the customers of the first two cafes pay in full.
There's a lawsuit coming with this. You just know it's going to happen.
Another 15% pay more and 15% pay less or nothing.
I'm telling you, all it really takes, though, is just one, like, jag-off. To just go in and just become a pebble in the shoe, and then he gets booted out, and then he sues for them violating, you know, their own presumed, you know, whatever their stated policy, you know. So that's it seems like a cool idea, it really does, and it does seem very Portland. Are the others here too?
No, they're in other parts of the country.
I mean, that does seem like a very. I'm not trying to snark about it. It seems like a cool idea, but that's a cool idea the way that, like, ladies' nights are a cool idea. Because you got to get, you know, because otherwise it's just a bunch of horny dudes staring at each other in a bar. And so they lower the price for chicks so you can get them in there because that's what you want. And then there's some bitter divorced a-hole that files, like, a men's rights lawsuit about it and just ruins everything for everybody like a dick. So that is probably what will happen here as well. I'm just saying, I hope that it doesn't, but that's always what happens.
Yeah, but the guy who comes every single day.
Yeah, and, like... You know, and he's like filling, and it's filling not the plate, but the actual tray that the plate goes on. All right. You're listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Later on this hour, entertainment news will be coming directly at you with great velocity. Here is Don Taylor.
Like a speeding fist right to your brain meats.
Like a fist of fun.
Let's do our science in the meantime.
Your science on the march. Really more sort of a canter for Wednesday right here at Legion of News.
NASA finally knows what caused the cracking in the Space Shuttle Discovery's fuel tank, a potentially dangerous problem that likely existed on the previous flight. Discovery's final voyage has been on hold since the beginning of November. If the remaining repair work goes well, the shuttle could fly to the International Space Station as early as February 24th. At a news conference, NASA officials refused to discuss the flight status of astronaut Mark Kelly, the husband of politician Gabrielle Giffords, who was shot in Arizona. He was supposed to command Shuttle Endeavour's last mission in April. His identical twin brother, Scott, is currently serving as the space station's skipper.
Wait, so are they both on the space station?
I guess so.
So that,
well, I guess one is on the space station, and I guess he was supposed to command the shuttle. So one is up there and one is down here.
All right, okay. So, well, I mean, at least he's here. That would be awful. That would suck more than anything.
Yeah.
If you're literally in outer space, you know, as, like, the worst tragedy of your life unfolds, that would just be, like, that would be unimaginably bad. So, I mean, so there's that, I guess. It does seem like it really goes without saying that the cracks in the hull or whatever are a dangerous problem.
They're a bad problem, although they did find cracks occurred in 5 of the 108 aluminum alloy struts in the center of the tank, which holds the instruments. The damaged struts have been patched. Technicians will reinforce the remaining struts as a safety precaution. John Shannon, the shuttle program manager, called it a very simple, elegant fix to the problem.
Hey,
I don't know how elegant it is, though. They patched cracks.
I don't mean to be morbid, but, okay, how many, let me ask you this. How many space shuttles have blown up? Two?
Okay, sure.
Well, I don't know.
At least two. I really don't know.
I want to say two, but I don't know the answer to that. It seems like it's two. It seems like Challenger, mm-hmm. And then, was it Columbia?
Yeah.
So that's two. How many have there been?
I don't know.
Because it seems like their batting average is not real high. I mean, I think there have been, like, what, five or something? Is it possible that two of the five... Is it possible that 40% of our space shuttles have blown up?
It's possible.
I don't know, and I'm not... I don't know. I'm just sort of making up that figure of five.
Yeah, I have no idea.
All right, somebody will let us...
Someone will know.
Somebody will let us... Somebody wants us to relay to everybody in the space shuttle that the problem is that there's a man on the wing. Okay, we'll get right on that. Thanks so much. All right.
The Food and Drug Administration, which has long maintained it has nothing to do with drugs used in executions, has quietly helped Arizona and California obtain a scarce type of anesthetic so the states could continue putting inmates to death. The shortage of sodium thiopental has disrupted executions around the country, but newly released documents show the FDA helped import it from Britain. Most state prison systems use sodium thiopental to put inmates to sleep before administering pancuronium bromide, a paralyzing agent, and potassium chloride, which stops the heart. But the drug's been in short supply since last spring, when Ohio nearly had to postpone an execution because it didn't have enough. The sole American manufacturer, Hospira Incorporated of Lake Forest, Illinois, has blamed supplier issues for its inability to make the drug, which is marketed to render patients unconscious, not for lethal injections.
What's the name of the drug? Does it say? I just think it's an odd factory to work at.
The drug is called sodium thiopental.
But there's no, like, you know, Slepenex or something. You know, there's no happy, you know.
Well, this is the thing.
Sometra.
So this is the thing that I haven't found out is I'm assuming then that this must just be a legal thing. That states have basically said, these are our guidelines for executions.
Right, yeah.
And made what I guess would be an error in specifying one particular drug as an anesthesia.
Yeah, because now you can't use anything that's not that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because there's lots of things that will knock people unconscious.
Or, you know, we got guns. Whatever happened to shooting people?
Yeah.
I mean, really. I mean, if you're just looking for... If you're just talking about efficiency here, if you're just dealing with, like... The shortest distance between A to Z, Z being the dead guy, I'm telling you, like, whatever happened, you just, you know, you put a guy in a chair and he gets the cigarette and the last words and the bang, bang, and the dead.
Well, you'll be happy to know, though, that after Arizona officials explained that they needed it for executions, not for, you know, people in the hospital and stuff, an FDA official recommended a shipment of the drug, quote, be processed expeditiously to us as it was for the purpose of executions and not for use by the general public.
Okay, so get right on that. Move them to the front of the line.
Well, and also, I guess the FDA guy said, look, this is for somebody who's going to be killed. We don't really have to worry about whether it's going to make them sick or not.
I guess that's true. I was going to say, like, the FDA can't actually expedite, you know, cancer drugs or anything. You know, what do we got? Well, we have this thing that's going to be curing the common cold. You know, well, no, get to that later. Do you have the thing that's just for killing people? Yeah, no. Put that, move that, make that your action item for the week. Jesus. Okay, so somebody is noting, I knew this would happen. But, so first of all, five shuttles, two failures, but 130 plus missions. So if you put it in terms of the actual missions versus that it is a 98% success rate. And then he says, by the way, he says, you can't disparage whatever they're doing to fix it. It actually is rocket science. Okay, that's...
Okay, that's
I hadn't
true.
Thought about that. That's a fair point. All right. No, if somebody decided, if I had to be executed, like if the state was going to, the state was going to remove me from the planet, I totally go. I know you go with the head chopping. Mm-hmm. I totally go for the firing squad, because I just don't trust anything else. Yeah. Everything else, I mean, I'm not saying you want to be shot, but presuming they shoot you in the right place, everything else seems like it hurts a lot. That, not so much. And I don't trust the lethal injection thing, because how do you know? You know, it could be like in Remo Williams, you know, where it's like suddenly you wake up and then there's Joel Grey, but he's all Asian.
Yeah. Or they could like tell everyone they killed you. But really, they're just like
harvesting your organs.
Exactly. Suspending you in one of those chambers with all of the other bodies that the organs are being harvested for rich people.
Totally. And so I just, you know, there's Jane Badler.
Which we know happens.
Yeah. So I got another. I'm all for the firing squad. I mean, really. And what's the difference? Six of one, half a dozen of the other. You know, who cares?
A study shows that men who smell women's tears experience a dip in both sexual arousal and testosterone.
All right. Hold on a second. Okay. I had to sort of do some calisthenics. I had to stretch out for that one. All right. Hold on. Okay. Do you mean that... Men who have the ability to smell women's tears, like a sort of super sniffer, like a dog has, so they can smell like where a sandwich was 2 weeks ago, or if men are deliberately exposed to the amplified scent of tears?
That second one.
Okay. So it's not like men who have super smelling power are then also... they're not using that as a marker of whether you have a hyper sense of olfactory reception.
No. Apparently, scientists have found that emotional tears contain more protein than everyday tears that protect the eyes. And until now, chemical signals in the tears had been found only in mice and blind mole rats.
It does what?
Well, they put out flyers recruiting people who could cry easily. They got 70 responses, only one of them from a man. They screened the volunteers, found the three best criers who could produce, women who could produce at least a millimeter of tears while watching a sad movie. They then had 24 men sniff both saline, plain saline, and the women's tears. Both the tears and the saline had been allowed to roll down the women's cheeks as a way to control for any odors in the skin or sweat.
You know, we've been looking for that new kind of fetish film to produce over at the Rick Emerson Show. I think we may have hit pay dirt. So just file this away.
So none of the men could tell the difference between the samples. None of the men were aware of any difference in the smell. But they did find that their sexual arousal ability and their testosterone both lowered after smelling the actual tears.
Because who wants to hump a needy chick is the thing.
Exactly.
That's totally what it is.
If you've ever been just completely turned off by a woman crying, you now know it is actually not just intellectual. It's a physical response.
Yeah. And so really, here's the thing is they should just be sending this study to women. You know, men already could have figured all this out. Really, women ought to be presented with this study because I got to tell you, this, like in the whole, like, you know, what are your turn-ons? What are your turn-offs? I got to tell you, I like chicks with a lot of money, and, you know, and I don't like, you know, and the biggest turn-off, though, is, like, neediness. Like, neediness or, like an advance or neediness and its sort of specific state, clinginess. Mm. I got to tell you, that is like hump be gone. I mean, there is no way to find something less attractive in a woman than neediness, from my perspective. And it sounds like that is actually a matter of science.
There
as
you
well.
Go. It's science, Rick
there
Emerson.
So there you go. So the next time we don't ever take long walks anymore. You know, you can just be like, baby, I'm sorry, I have to go hump a barmaid now. Look, it's not my fault or yours, really. Intentionally, it's just nature.
He says, please stop crying. You're making me less of a man.
Yeah.
You're lowering my testosterone. You have to stop that.
Yeah. And I wonder if... never mind. All right, so there's that. By the way, I mean, what a bizarre thing to be asked if you want to go do that in the name of science. Like,
cry?
Do you want to... Well, no, if you want to go... Well, there's that, but if you want to go, like, sniff the tears of women as they roll down their plump, rosy cheeks, you know?
Well, they also had the men just sniff... they didn't even know what they were smelling. They just, you know, put it on like little pieces of paper, and the women were nowhere around. They had no idea what they were smelling.
It was in a vacuum.
And then they hooked them up to MRIs, and they did various things to them, and it lowered their testosterone. So it's actually the substance in the tears.
I bet that this was, this did originate, though, with some guy in the lab who had, like, the fetish. And he was trying to, like, reverse engineer something they could deduce from just having chicks sit and cry on camera while he went, that's great. No, just a little bit longer.
Or a guy who just had, like, a really super needy, clingy, weepy wife who kept wanting to have, like, teary makeup sex, and he just couldn't. And he finally just went, I'll bet there's a reason I can't.
No, the thing is...
I'm going to prove there's a scientific reason that I'm not interested in doing that.
And don't get me wrong, it's not like it's not hot if the chick's crying. It's just all about the motivation there. It's really, why is she crying?
Yeah.
That determines whether or not it's sexy. Am I right? Come on now. Don Taylor in the back?
Yeah.
All right.
I got to agree.
I'm just saying. All right. Is that the end of science there?
God, I hope so.
All right. There you go. There's your Science on the March for Wednesday, January 12th, 2011, brought to you by Squires Electric. You can find out more about them by going to 503-252-1609. 503-252-1609. Or you can go to squireselectric.com. That is squireselectric.com. And we have talked a lot about how they will come, they come to your home or to your business, and they'll repair things if you got damage, or if you've got just something that's gone, it's gotten all wonkified, where you plug something in and the lights go off in another room. Or it's like, do you ever do that thing? Let me ask you this: does it weird you out when, like, even though you've probably noticed this about your body forever, like when you touch one part of your body and another part, like, gets the tingle?
Oh yeah.
Like you touch your toe and, like, the top of your head goes. Whoa.
Or when something like say your shoulder hurts or something, and you move and then you feel like a twinge in your ankle.
Yeah,
and it makes no sense.
And you have no idea why that is. And I swear to God, there's, like, electrical systems are wired that way too. If you ever look at a schematic, and it's like you're just You know, and it's like it's just done in some weird, you know, it's like those spaceship instructions that came in the movie Contact, where you're just going, I have no idea how to read these. And that is why, like, guys, and my dad literally did this at one point. He was trying to fix something with the electrical system, and he literally miswired it to where, like, he would turn on the light switch for the bedroom, and, like, a blender would start going, like, in the basement or something. And that was, I think, when... First of all, I think he actually remedied that by taking a sledgehammer and actually just demolishing the switch, the wiring behind it, the panel, and most of the wall. So that was sort of awesome to watch. But it's like, but you just do that, and that's where you just have to... That is when you just sort of, like, you collapse like a marionette with its strings cut, and you go, like, I am never going to figure this out. I will never be able to fix this.
Yeah, my old house was like that, that if I figured out I couldn't use my... I put my espresso machine on top of the microwave and plugged them into the same outlet, and then learned the hard way I couldn't use them both at the same time. But then I also realized, because I had to go, like, you know, flip the... I had the glass fuses, and I had to do something with it. And for some reason, the little dining alcove in my kitchen was not wired to... It was not connected on the same circuit as the kitchen, but it was in the dining room. But if the lights went out in the living room, the lights would also go out in the kitchen. And I'm not sure who hooked it up that way. It made no sense to me at all, because, like, I know nothing about these things.
See, and that's the thing. And so just cut the Gordian knot, kids. Just call Squires Electric, 503-252-1609, 503-252-1609, or squireselectric.com. They've been here for over a decade. They'll give you free estimates up top, so you know about how much you're going to pay. And it has everything to do from, you know, installing to upgrading to updating to checking it out prior to the inspection, where the man comes by and just starts poking around inside your business. So you can make sure that you're going to pass that inspection with flying colors. You're not going to end up getting horked like 2-3 times in a row trying to get everything, you know, sort of fixed, and they come back and they inspect it again. And, you know, you get it right, get it done, get it fixed, and get it handled correctly the very first time. 503-252-1609. That is your Science on the March. Here is Don Taylor at the news desk.
The state of Oregon has filed a lawsuit against Johnson & Johnson, claiming the company knowingly sold defective bottles of children's Motrin in Oregon and in the rest of the U.S.
How can a bottle be defective?
I don't know.
Okay.
But what they did was, apparently Johnson & Johnson, at least according to the Oregon Department of Justice, issued what is called a phantom recall, where they learned in November of 2008 that a batch of children's Motrin was ineffective.
Oh, okay. So it wasn't the bottle, it was the actual medicine.
Right. It wasn't really harmful, it just wasn't relieving pain and inflammation.
Didn't do anything. Yeah.
So they kept the information secret, did not inform the public. McNeil Healthcare, the drug-making division of Johnson & Johnson, then hired a company to send fake consumers to buy the Motrin bottles off the store shelves.
Ah.
They visited 29 stores in Oregon, as well as many other stores across the U.S. The complaint cites in an email that instructed the undercover shoppers to tell store workers they were performing an audit if questioned by store employees.
Well, that's, you know, that's the whole thing where Johnson & Johnson realizes that they managed to thread the public relations needle once with the Tylenol thing back in the 80s, and that they're not likely to get that lucky again.
No.
You know, they don't want another one of those. That's a lightning strikes kind of a thing.
We have to recall the No, let's just buy them all back.
Yeah, I think they realize that they're not going to be able to skin that cat twice.
Yeah, unfortunately, according to the Oregon Attorney General, whose name is John Kroger, You can't do that.
No, that's illegal.
You're
I think.
Supposed to, like, inform the
Tell
public and
that.
Actually recall
Ooh,
the
sorry.
Product.
Okay.
So yeah, so there's a 16 count indictment against Johnson & Johnson.
It makes you wonder, like, what was wrong with the pills, though, that they weren't doing something bad to the best of their knowledge? They were just ineffective. That's almost more intriguing than if they were dangerous, where it might have been like they gave you too much of the medicine. This doesn't sound like they were empty. There was like a in other words, like, they don't sell for kids. They don't sell capsules. It's a caplet or it's a tablet. So in other words, it's not like it would have somehow shipped without the little ball bearing things inside that had the medicine.
Well, the machine that dumps the actual medicine into the filler product.
Or
that
the cornstarch or whatever.
The cornstarch and stuff may have not dumped the medicine in. So they just ended up being like cornstarch and filler tablets.
I guess because those things really are, I guess they mostly are like cornstarch, because the actual amount of medicine would be like it's a pinprick, basically. It's very small.
Yeah.
I guess that makes sense.
And some kind of, I can't, mucilage. Is that what it's called?
No, that's
mucilage?
What you have so your bowels move correctly, I think.
Okay.
Anyway. I don't know.
Governor John Kitzhaber has directed the Department of Energy to use $2 million of leftover federal stimulus dollars to conduct energy audits on 500 schools. The audits are the most concrete of seven suggestions Kitzhaber announced at a news conference Tuesday. He called the ideas low-hanging fruit as his teams of advisors work out more ambitious challenges.
I like the idea that he cops to it, though, that he just says, well, this is really easy. I can get this done. There's no effort required at all. It takes almost none of my brain power.
He says the energy dollars will create about 20 new jobs and lay the groundwork for his campaign goal of weatherizing public school buildings. His plan also calls for working with the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency to ensure woody biomass is viewed favorably.
Woody biomass?
Because, you know, we have such a poor...
That's like the worst children's mascot ever.
Yeah, we have such a poor opinion of woody biomass now.
Hey, kids, I'm woody biomass!
Ah! And then they scream and run. How could we make woody biomass more friendly?
He's like one of those coily things where he's just there to, like... He's there like on a public service film you will never watch or remember to tell you to, like, to put sheeting over your windows.
He also wants to include a preference for biomass boilers in his school weatherization plans.
Woody biomass. Doesn't woody biomass sound like a thing that your doctor would discover after running an MRI?
It's something that they would have to, like, heat up something and burn off the sole of your foot.
You've got woody biomass. And so what we can do is with some low-level irradiation, we think we can take care of that. And it would just be, you know, it'd be one of those things like on a house that they haven't seen in the Western Hemisphere, you know, for 35 years.
Maybe he has lupus. You know what was... It's woody biomass.
You know, there was...
explains everything.
Somebody did have lupus, actually, a few weeks ago. I was watching the show, and it's like...
Somebody actually finally had lupus?
There was actually one episode where somebody had lupus, and they never sort of acknowledged what an inside joke it obviously was, but I actually smiled a little bit to myself. You're listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Don't forget, next hour, the Rick Emerson radio program storms the airwaves of 147 countries around the world. Corpse Watch today. Snuff Watch. Also, your Jackson Watch. Long time since we've had one of those. Also, top five songs about the drinking. It's from Don Taylor. She'll have that. Also, Mr. Aaron Mesh, screen editor from Willamette Week, will be in the studio with us. So that is all coming up next hour at rickemersonshow.com.
In 2010, accused Arizona shooter Jared Loughner spent a lot of nights online, posting messages on the online forums of gaming site Earth Empires. Does anyone have aggression 24/7? He asked of his gaming compatriots on May 9th. I bet you're hungry because I know how to cut a body open and eat you for more than a week, he wrote later that month.
That doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't. On April 28th, Loughner asked on the forums, quote, what do chocolate cookies taste like? The collection of 131 postings viewed by the Wall Street Journal gave a window into Loughner's state of mind before Saturday's shooting spree.
Somebody should put that out as like a sort of like a refrigerator magnet poetry. What is his first name?
Jared.
Jared. Somebody ought to do like a, you know, like the wit and wisdom of Jared Loughner.
The postings were not comprised solely of violence-laced gibberish.
No, he asked about cookies.
No, he asked about cookies.
That's the creepiest one, by the way, of all of them.
What
of
do the chocolate three, cookies taste like?
Oh, they taste like chocolate, jackass. So, and the fact that he doesn't know that, that's the thing that indicates the brokenness of our friend Jared. That of the three you read, I don't think I'm alone in this. That's the creepiest one.
Yeah, no, because the first one just makes no sense.
What does water feel like? I mean, it's weird, right? That's the one that just...
Yeah.
That's like one of those things that, like, the Amityville Horror kids, you know, it's just, you know, why is there a pig in my bedroom? And it just, like, makes no sense.
What happens if I touch my eye?
The moon makes me feel funny.
Loughner expressed his frustration at not being able to find or hold on to a job.
And a girlfriend.
He revealed he'd been fired from Red Robin, Quiznos, and Eddie Bauer, amongst other employers. In June, he wrote that he had sent out 65 applications without an interview offer. Sometimes fellow gamers tried to help, but the Earth Empires community, which Loughner joined in ninth grade, found Loughner so outrageous at times that they ostracized him. Now, this is the thing. He was ostracized by a bunch of online gamers.
You really have to wonder exactly how far from the pack he had strayed.
One gamer who tried to offer employment advice was swiftly rebuffed by a torrent of profanity that included the line, can't hold termination against future employee 177 times.
Okay. It was that line over and over and over again?
177 times.
Was it against?
All in caps. Can't hold termination against future employee.
Okay.
Exclamation point.
Here's the thing, though. That's less impressive because that's a cut and paste job. It's the against that's the tell there, that he didn't type that. If he typed it 177 times, I go, oh, you're so edgy and crazy, Jared. Look how bonkers you are with it. That's just like...
Or if he'd asked, what do chocolate cookies taste like 177 times?
Like that at least would have been unnerving. The other thing is like Control-C, Control-V, repeat. So that's just you trying to look spooky. Don't you? That's like giving yourself a nickname. You can't do that.
After holding out for a few days, Sarah Palin finally weighed in on the Tucson shootings in a video statement post on her Facebook page this morning. In the speech, which Business Insider calls thoughtful, and Nate Silver says displays more gravitas than we're accustomed to from Palin, the former governor denounces the idea that political rhetoric was responsible for Saturday's attack and accuses the media of manufacturing a blood libel that incites hatred and violence. Jake Tapper tweets that blood libel historically refers to the false accusation that Jews practice rituals with the blood of Christian children.
I'm sure that's a coincidence.
And Silver adds that the term has popped up several times in the conservative media over the past few days.
Well, that's because they can't use crusade anymore. They've sort of burned that one out.
In an allusion to the Crosshairs map that's gotten her in trouble since the shooting, Palin pushed for peaceful dialogue and reiterated a remark she made last March. When we take up our arms, we're talking about our vote, she said.
What does that mean?
I mean, oh, we're not talking about guns when we say target and we put crosshairs on the districts of Democratic, representatives. When we say take up our arms, we're talking about, you know, our voting.
Oh, okay. So she's trying to explain the language.
Right.
That she's speaking in metaphor. Okay. That's one of those things where it goes beyond agreeing or disagreeing. Sometimes I just have no idea what the hell she is saying. It's where it's just, you know, where it all becomes like Jared Loughner talking about, you know, like, I like shoe pigeon, you know, and you're like, what? You know, it just there's nothing can be sussed out there.
Well, to clarify that, she added, acts of monstrous criminality stand on their own, not with those who listen to talk radio, not with maps of swing districts used by both sides of the aisle.
I will say, by the way, that I did see that thing again last night where the idiot newscasters kept going to, and friends say that he often listened to right-wing talk show host Rush Limbaugh. Yeah, and it's... There really is... You just have to go into the story just realizing that no one on any end of the political spectrum will have anything useful to say about this in any way at all.
No
liberal, no conservative, doesn't matter. You know, if Air America still existed, this is where I would talk about Air America and how they don't have anything useful to say about it. But there's not going to be any, because there's just nothing you can say. There's nothing you can say about a guy who's just full on nuts. Like, he exists in a world that is, I think, that is a little offset from our own.
As is to be expected, Jon Stewart had a really, really good commentary on it on The Daily Show day before yesterday, because they had to address it in some
right.
manner. And in his usual manner of when he speaks, like, he seems to be speaking from the heart, but you know that he's working off of notes written by his staff. But it was really good. And again, you know, he's super liberal, but he also, unlike, like, say, Keith Olbermann, he went out of his way to say, you know, no, this is a crazy guy. This
yeah.
isn't, yes, 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 I hate what political discourse has come to in this country, but that's not what caused this.
Right.
You know, so.
Well, it's just, people just have such a short freaking memory. I mean, it's a, you and I are both, I mean, if we just look back, probably every, I'd be curious that we should do a graph, like, and this is one of those things, okay, here's, Aaron Mesher's going to be here, I believe, I got to confirm that, but I'm pretty sure Aaron Mesher's going to be here from Willamette Week. This is one of those things that I'm saying, but let's for once in our miserable goddamn lives, let's remember this
okay.
and not forget it. We should do, and we should not talk any more about it past the actual idea, because otherwise, you know, we'll just get to, we only got like 8 minutes here, but we should actually, to the best of our knowledge, like in the 20th century popular culture, try to figure out everything in a broad sense that has been blamed, you know, for violence or for corrupting the youth. Or for setting them toward violence,
okay.
in terms of, you know, media or media behaviors. So let's not say anything more about it. But I would like to know, A, let's try to get a list of that, and also figure out if there's a cycle, like if we get a new one like every 8 years. So let's do that next hour. That is next hour at rickemersonshow.com, by the way, where you can hear our scintillating verbiage and dazzling wordplay and oration for just 32 cents a day. That is one quarter, one nickel, two pennies. You can hear our rudimentary math skills as well. That's a loss leader. That's a freebie. Rickemersonshow.com is where you hear that today. Corpse Watch, Snuff Watch, Jackson Watch, top five songs about drinking or drankin'. As some of my Nubian friends in the South say. And we've also got Aaron Mesh from Willamette Week.
Let's do our entertainment news.
By Nubian friends in the South, I mean Bobby Roberts. I'm sorry, what?
Entertainment?
Here's your entertainment news.
Bobby Roberts isn't Nubian.
No, but he does. He is the one. I got to tell you this. Like, if you were to look at if you had a pie chart of, like, my exposure to people talking about drank or syrup or purple drinkers. And it was like, how many, like a USA Today thing of like, how many of these are being said by Bobby? All of them.
Edward Furlong, who has a role in this weekend's Green Hornet and is best known for his work in Terminator 2 Judgment Day, was arrested yesterday morning for violating a restraining order, keeping him away from his estranged wife. Furlong, 33, is in the midst of a divorce with Rachel Nealand, and a judge had ordered Furlong to stay at least 100 yards away from her.
A furlong sounds like a unit of measurement.
It is.
Is it?
Yes.
Am I not thinking of something else that's similar? It actually is an actual unit of measurement?
Yes.
It wow. is indeed. Okay, that's weird. I was right about something. Like
you're mostly about horses running X amount of furlongs in races.
It's so great that I was accidentally correct. That's the only way I can ever be right about something at the show is like, but I thought I was wrong. I was accidentally.
I thought you were making something up, but it was actually real.
It was inadvertently accurate.
Yeah.
Okay, well done, Rick Evers.
True Grit actors Matt Damon, Haley Steinfeld, and Jeff Bridges will serve as presenters at the Golden Globes. Other actors serving will be Tina Fey, Tilda Swinton, Kevin Bacon, Sandra Bullock, Helen Mirren, Jennifer Lopez, and Country Strong actress Leighton Meester. I'm sorry, Country Strong actress Leighton Meester. Gossip Girl actress Leighton Meester. Please.
Sorry.
Speaking of Matt Damon.
Sorry.
He has shared the screen with some of the greatest actors in movie history. Rick Emerson, including
Robin Williams.
Robert De Niro and Ben Affleck.
Yes.
And now he's...
Here's the thing. I deliberately said Robin Williams so that you wouldn't use Ben Affleck as a punchline. And then you tried to do it anyway.
I did it anyway.
You're mean.
Was Ben Affleck actually in something with Robin Williams?
Good Will Hunting.
Was he? Oh, Good
Will
Hunting.
Hello. Right,
Robin.
Academy Award winner Ben
right.
Affleck.
And, yes.
I tried to Affleck block you by saying Robin Williams.
It's so hard for me to think of Robin Williams actually being
acting
in good movies.
Yeah.
Even though he's been in a number of very good movies, but he's been in so many just awful ones, it kind of, the noise drowns it out.
Name your favorite Robin Williams. It doesn't have to be a serious film either. What is a movie in which he is legitimately good? I'm not disputing it, but I'm saying the one that comes to mind for you is?
Fisher King.
Maybe.
That's the first one that comes to mind.
That's the thing where he's playing a crazy guy, though, isn't he? And so it's like it's
he
so
is,
hard to tell
yeah.
if he's being good or not.
He's very good in it.
I'm saying for me?
He's really good in One Hour Photo.
Also, Moscow on the Hudson.
I almost said Moscow on the Hudson.
I'm the only person I know that ever references that movie. I'm so glad that you were going to do it.
He's so hairy.
Yeah.
There's that scene where he's sitting in the bathtub and he is the hairiest man alive.
Yeah, he really is. No, I dig that movie and I dig him in that movie.
I almost said Moscow on the Hudson.
And doesn't it have a... Maria Conchita Alonso?
Oh, it does.
Who sounds
indeed.
Like she's got a made-up name.
Yeah, but she's so pretty.
Doesn't that sound like a name that, like your racist dick friend would use to refer to, like, just Latin people in general?
Yeah.
And so you got, like, Maria Conchita Alonso at the store who can't count my change back to me out of a 20. It just sounds fake. It just sounds like a fake name.
Do you want to hear what Matt Damon has to say about being in True Grit?
Yes.
Okay. He told us, I like it when they say these things. Matt Damon told us.
We sat down with Matt Damon.
We sat down with Matt Damon, and he told us that Jeff Bridges was perfectly cast for the film and brings an enthusiasm that's infectious.
Jeff was inspired casting, I thought. Jeff is just, this is a perfect role for him because it's a really fun role. The Cogburn character...
just say it, Damon!
He drinks too much. He's inappropriate. He bends the rules. He's kind of a classic American, protagonist.
I suspect that this is not even half over.
Imperfectly perfect. And Jeff brings, you know, all of that stuff. And he's incredibly funny and incredibly dynamic.
Oh,
yeah.
Damon.
And just working with him, he brings this kind of joy to his work that just...
I can sense the joy. It's exuding.
Really infectious. Yes. And,
it really, you know,
it's...
Excitement is just...
Oh, my God.
Jeff was...
Ah! No, I almost started again. Christ.
<That's more. laughs>
Jesus. All right.
He just did that to scare you. Whew! According to The Hollywood Reporter, the next James Bond film, currently just titled Bond 23, starts shooting later this year. Sam Mendes of American Beauty and Away We Go will direct the feature, which comes out in November of 2012.
They should just cut to the chase and call it the Bourne Bond.
Bourne Bond.
You know, just, you know, something. The Bourne movies have just rendered, I hate to say this, because then, like, Siegfried is probably screaming and punching the radio or whatever, but it's like the Bond movies have just, it seems to me, been rendered a little bit irrelevant by the Bourne films. You know?
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah,
I'm not saying they're better. It's just like that is that they have reset the stage. They have reshaped the landscape.
And honestly, looking like Casino Royale, for example, it did it so much worse than the Bourne
yeah.
movies do. The attempt at that frenetic pacing and that hyper editing.
Quantum of Solace was so bad. It was, and I hate to say that, it was so bad. It was bad, bad, bad. And it was. I remember Court and I watched that, and I would just. We had, and I thought it was just me, but Court and I watched Quantum of Solace, and then afterward, we both realized it was like none of us wanted to admit it because we felt like it would indicate that we were like we had Alzheimer's or something, or we were just sort of old, and we realized that none of us could tell what the hell was going on in any of the action sequences at all. It was like a boat would go this way, and then a thing would explode, and then a guy would go wah, and he'd fall off, and then another guy would get his foot caught in something, and then like the bad guy would, and then it's like they would just cut to a scene in Istanbul, and we would have no idea what was resolved in the action sequence.
Also, in the continuing attempt of Hollywood to run roughshod over our memories of movies that we enjoyed when we were younger, Colin Farrell will star in a remake of Total Recall.
Oh, I hate you.
To be directed by Len Wiseman. Who is, if his name's not familiar, that may be because he directed Underworld and Live Free or Die Hard.
Oh, God, really?
Oh, yes.
Okay. Why? I mean, do they even bother to put a Y anymore?
There's no reason.
They don't even give a fake reason.
No.
They don't even give a whole, like...
Because they can, and because they just want to make us sad.
Okay, let me ask you this. Is there, and then we have to end the show, is there a, and well, we should ask, here's the thing, we should also duplicate this question next hour, we should ask Aaron Mesh. Is there a reboot that you fear, but you suspect is inevitable? One you particularly fear, but you think it's probably going to happen?
They keep talking about remaking early Cronenberg films, and I'm really...
Such as?
Scanners.
Really?
Yeah, and I really don't want to see that happen.
F that.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. See, and mine is much more recent. I dread the RoboCop remake. I know that they'll reboot RoboCop at some point, and it's going to suck. It's going to be so bad. It's just because they'll try to get the black humor thing going on and the sort of bleak, you know, like the dystopian set, and it's just going to fail. You know?
No, you can't remake Verhoeven.
No.
You really can't. It's like, look, we're going to remake Showgirls. No, you really can't, because Verhoeven is dystopian and crazy and Dutch.
Yeah.
So it can't be.
It's the Dutch thing, really. You can't beat Dutch. All right. On that note, we will bring to a conclusion this episode of Legion of News for Wednesday, January 12th, 2011. Coming up on next hour at rickemersonshow.com. We'll talk to Aaron Mesh from Willamette Week. Also, Corpse Watch, Snuff Watch, Jackson Watch, Top 5 Songs About Drinking, and so forth. The Legion of News broadcast for today is one of 5 broadcasts you'll hear this week. We do it Monday through Friday from noon to 1 here from the studios of the Emerson News Network at the news desk. Dawn Taylor, Advanced Technology and Magic provided by Mr. Thomas Gill, Executive Producer Bruce Agler, Chief of Staff Cheryl Kanakoa. Have a fantastic day. As always, we will see you again tomorrow at noon for another exciting installment of Legion of News.